Bob Peterson, welcome to KABU.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Bob Peterson is a founding editor of the magazine Rethinking Schools and the Rethinking Schools Network. He taught many years at La Escuela Fraterna in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He recently served two terms as president of the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association. He describes himself in his blog titled Democracy in Education.
Right, that's correct.
I quote his blog, "Public education, the entire public sector, and democracy are under attack. As a teacher activist, I organize and write in favor of social justice teacher unionism, social justice teaching, and for the creation of a new social movement for economic and political democracy and racial justice." He's really active in that movement, and especially in the struggle to save public education from the billionaires and the privatizers and the voucher advocates and the right-wingers. Bob, tell us about that attack.
Well, the attack is strong and getting stronger, unfortunately. You know, it actually dates back to the 1950s and Milton Friedman, who proposed a voucher program for all. And after the Brown v. Board decision, which tried to desegregate the public schools, people actually started using vouchers right away to try to circumvent that in a couple places in the South. Since that time, basically, instead of fulfilling the dream of Brown v. Board and providing equal education to all children in this country, various groups of right-wingers, including the Americans for Prosperity, the American Federation for Children, that's the one associated with Betsy DeVos, the Milwaukee's Lynn and Harry Bradley Foundation and Walmart Foundation, et cetera, have seen the opportunity to make money and to ideologically destroy the public sector by attacking public schools.
And destroy the teachers' unions, who are one of the main impediments to their grand plan.
Absolutely. That's an auxiliary part of their plan. What we see is whether it's a privatized voucher program like we have in Wisconsin and D.C. and Cleveland, or privately run charter schools that have basically the charter school movement has been hijacked by privatizers in most places around the country, or various tax incentives, tax write-offs. What we see is a strong and growing movement to privatize schools. For example, in 2010, when the GOP started making gains in state houses across the country, there were 15 states in the District of Columbia that hosted 24 private school choice programs. 6 years later, in 2016, 28 states in D.C. had passed a total of 61 programs. And this continues to be on the rise. As we know, ALEC, which promotes template legislative initiatives, is one of the many groups behind that.
Lots of boy billionaires contribute, and Eli Broad.
Absolutely.
There's all sorts of billionaires who have made destroying public education their hobby.
That is true.
And they put a huge amount of money into them. They've been exposed, but they're shameless. And in the process, of course, what they're doing is defunding public schools. Everywhere they get a foothold, they grab a lot of money, also use hedge fund or whatever money they can raise from. There's so many billionaires who will give a couple, 50 million, whatever, 20, 10,
right,
to actually spend a lot of money on those schools in sort of a bait and switch program. They create schools that sort of look good, at least. In fact, they aren't very good, but it's destroying the public system because it's also taking public money and making it impossible to keep the system going. Then they have to begin closing schools. It erodes the public school system by this charter movement, it seems to me.
It's true, and it's, certainly that's a strategy for their attack on the entire public sector. You defund it, and then you show that there's some weaknesses, and there were already weaknesses in any society, obviously, especially our society that has racial, gender, class biases built within it. But instead of transforming and improving that public sector by defunding it, it makes it harder and harder for even basic services to be provided, and thus they can come in and claim that the schools are inherently ineffective and suggest a privatized solution. Now, what we see in Milwaukee and Wisconsin alone, $250 million a year goes from the public schools to privatized schools, most of which are religious schools in the private voucher program. And as we mentioned, a key component of politically winning this struggle by the right wing is to neuter and destroy and attack the public sector unions. And that's what's happened certainly here in Wisconsin, They've tried to do that, but obviously at a nationwide level, that's happening. And in fact, we can anticipate a Janus decision by the U.S. Supreme Court that will take away the right to get a fair share from active teachers in schools and thus further weaken the union.
Right.
This is all part of a grand plan to privatize the whole setup. And I maintain, and I think it's true, that we certainly have to defend public schools, and we have to admit that there's some weaknesses, and we have to transform them. But we much better to defend and transform than to defund and destroy, because the few students who benefit from the privatized schools are a few. Whereas in all our communities, it is the public school system that has the capacity, commitment, and legal obligation to serve all children. You know, we can improve how we serve it, but we're the ones serving all children. We see that day in and day out. Privately run charter schools and private voucher schools, when they don't like a student in terms of behavior or academic achievement, they counsel them out. And where do they end up? In the public schools. So to me, it's surprising, in fact, that the charter schools and voucher schools don't do better.
Yeah, let's get into that. It's very surprising, since they do test prep a lot of it. They get rid of all students who show signs of any kind of rebellion or who do poorly on tests. And yet, even on the tests they design, the public schools do equally well, at least.
Yes, it's true. It's only a fourth of the charter schools do it anywhere close to better or at level with the public schools. And I am always amazed. I mean, as a teacher for 25 years, I know if I can select my students, I'll get a pretty good achievement rate, no matter how we score it, you know, how we measure it.
Right.
And that's exactly what the charter schools and the voucher schools tend to do. When I say tend, it's not every single student, but it's those who are most difficult to educate, whether it's those who don't speak English as a first language, those who have special needs that need increased attention. So what happens is there's a growing percentage of those students in the public schools as charter schools and voucher schools take more of a percentage of the total student population in any particular city.
Yeah, it's really insidious. This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole. I'm talking to Bob Peterson, who helped found Rethinking Schools and the Rethinking Schools Network, and we have an active chapter here in Portland, Oregon. Bob taught in Milwaukee. We are talking about the fight to stop the privatizers and maintain public education and improve public education at the same time. What's your sense of why charter schools and privatizers and that whole apparatus, with all the advantages they have, including more money, including being able to kick out a lot of kids, how is it that they do so poorly?
Well, clearly one of the issues is, in many schools, the leadership and the quality of the staff that they employ. I mean, one of the main differences between a private-run charter school and a voucher school and the public schools is that the teachers don't have just cause, they, in the sense of dismissal, or they're at the whim of the principal or the director, whoever that may be. And we see in Milwaukee, for instance, on a regular basis, teachers trying to get out of charter and voucher schools and get into the public school system. Despite the problems of public schools, they feel more secure. They feel that there is more of a team effort on the part of teachers working together and not as dictatorial of a framework as some private institutions have. So I think that's one thing. I think it's also just important to understand that these schools really, I mean, with, again, with some exceptions, are run by some people who are looking just for self-aggrandizement or quite frankly, to make some money off the deal. You look at some of the salaries of the principals in our voucher schools in Milwaukee or in Wisconsin and the charter schools. You also see a connection between charter schools like Rocket Ship, it's a national chain, and the software that and the software companies that some of the boards of directors, members of the board of directors of a school like Rocket Ship have. And so they can make a fair amount of money off of both the software, and then, as you mentioned previously, some of the hedge fund folks are making money off of real estate in places, especially places like New York City. So it's complicated, but the bottom line is the people behind most of these schools in it for a reason other than what public school educators are in the profession for.
There's also such huge turnover in the schools, but it takes a while for people to learn how to develop all of the pedagogies, the personal habits, the ways of relating, the curriculums, to become a good teacher, and they need a lot of help from other teachers. That's one of the things. Teacher unions protect teachers. They make time to collaborate. Many of them now are adopting the idea and, in fact, fulfilling it, that we stand for the schools your children deserve. Diane Ravitch, who was a furious voucher supporter until she saw what she had helped create, and then was mortified and began recognizing all of the virtues of the teachers' union and public education, and has been playing that, making those arguments for a long time. It seems to me there's so much to be said now for the kinds of teachers that are being developed versus the vouchers who people leave after 2, 3, 5 years. They can't take it anymore.
In fact, the whole system of the Teach for America, and I'm nothing against the young college students who go into that program, but the fact is that it's part and parcel of the same plan. Basically, de-skilling teachers, thinking, well, you can just, you know, get 6 weeks of early worth of training to follow the scripted test-driven curriculum and work your butt off, and then after 2 years you go on. And that's what happens to a lot of those teachers, and a lot of those teachers are placed in charter and voucher schools. And so you have the turnover that you're referring to.
What's going to happen? Let's say the charter school, a horrible dystopic outcome, it seems to me. They weaken the public school system sufficiently that they then become easy for them just to knock it down and create this free market paradise in education. It seems to me that what we would get is exactly what we have in sort of semi-free market child care, the nursing home and elder system, where 5 or 10% of the population, where 1% gets anything they want, right? And often it's good, where the net top 10% has enough money to do fairly well. And then it starts going down, and the bottom rung of child care in this country, not because of the workers, but they're extremely low paid, so they don't stay around very long and get very little help. But at the bottom rung, they get terrible systems. And in nursing homes, it causes early death. What we have are these systems that work on the market. They're free market systems, mostly. And the schools will resemble it. Private capital is not interested in the bottom half of the population. They sell to the top 25% and maybe 50%. And after that, the future of education in this country that they're driving for is exactly that.
Well, I think we're seeing this come true in different cities. You take New Orleans, which has basically been privatized, and there's horrific stories coming out of the real failure to deal with any student with special needs, and charter schools closing overnight and people having to scurry to find a place for their children to go to school the following days and weeks. You have Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee, which have been severely defunded because of the massive amounts of money that's gone into charter schools in Detroit and Chicago, and especially voucher schools here in Milwaukee. As I said, we have over 120 voucher schools in Milwaukee taking nearly $200 million a year from public funding for the public schools. And the public schools have been hurt by budget cuts and this shift of money, funneling of money into private schools. So you larger class sizes, less arts, music, physical education, and so on and so forth. And it's spiraling out of control. And this is exactly what the current president and the secretary of education, Betsy DeVos, want. They want a completely voucherized, privatized school system, and it will be a disaster both in terms of those who need public schools the most, but for every child, because there will be no public scrutiny of what takes place in these schools. There's no democratic control. It's an attack on democracy because these schools do not have anybody who is democratically elected running them. Obviously, democracy is a work in progress, and I think we have to work as if we live in democracy, struggle for that. But at the lowest level, the school boards historically have been probably one of the more democratic institutions amongst our representative system. And these people are being replaced by privatized boards, like at charter schools in Milwaukee. A lot of them, even though they're concentrated in the city, the board of directors live in the suburbs. It's ridiculous. It's an attack. It's something that anybody who believes in democracy and justice should oppose.
One final thing, Bob Peterson of Rethinking Schools. You should check Rethinking Schools Journal and Portland. Get in touch with Portland Rethinking Schools if you're interested in. And then the Teachers Union here, which has really become an active social justice organization recently. Bob, give us a little plug for getting active in the schools and supporting public education and how to do it.
Absolutely. Well, it depends. Obviously, if you're an educator, you do get involved in your union and other social justice organizations that are involved with teachers. But also, it's so important, if you're a teacher, to reach out to parents and community groups, to push your union to do so. As you said, the Portland Association of Teachers is on the road to doing that and doing a great job, I think, from what I hear. And if you're a parent, not only come to your child's school and try to get involved in the leadership, but don't only look out for your child's school. Look out for all public schools and to work in organizations to both decrease the reliance on standardized testing and scripted curriculum, the promotion of project-based active learning, and the legislation which is necessary to both fund those kind of things, smaller class sizes, better professional development, extracurricular activities, wraparound school programs, community school initiatives, those kinds of things. We have to build an education justice movement to demand and ultimately win at the levels of school board, state legislatures, and a national level.
Bob Peterson, Rethinking Schools, very good talking to you. Thanks a lot.
Great talking to you. You take care.